Riders up!
This is Riders Up with Frank Lyons and John Gaver, your one-stop shop for all the Sunday morning racing information that you need. Let's get this party started. Here's Frankie.
Good morning, Happy Sunday morning to everyone. I am Frank Lyons, joined by stage door Johnny, John Gaver. John, how are you?
All good, Frankie. Nice to be here on a Sunday morning with you. WLXG 1300 ESPN Radio in Lexington.
I'm
got a nice show on tap today.
I'm glad you remembered what channel we're on, John.
That's the one thing I try to remember every time, and sometimes I forget. But we wanted to get that in early and often this
week. That's right. And on this show this week, we're going to be joined by Tony Matos, the famous agent who represents the riding sensation Evan Roman, the apprentice rider who won the title out at Saint-Denis, shared the title with Flavian Pratt, who's a first rider since, first apprentice rider since 1949, since Gordon Glisson, to win the title at Saint-Denis, shared it with Flavian Pratt. But I guess he's unofficially the winner because he had more second places.
Which is interesting. I never knew that that's how that came down to deciding a title if they're all locked up at the end of the meet. But it makes sense. If he was second more than Flavian Pratt, then he deserves the title. And really promising up-and-coming rider, just turned 19 years old.
I mean, he is an incredible rider. I've just had so much admiration for this kid. And we'll here, and Evan is supposed to be with Tony. So, and Evan, we would interview Evan all by himself, but he doesn't speak real good English. So I thought that might make for a little confusing interview.
No doubt about it. He's in great hands with Tony Matos, veteran jocks agent who's represented the likes of Angel Cordero, Corey Nakatani, Kent DeSormo, Pat Valenzuela, Lafitte Penkai Jr. The list goes on and on.
Garrett Gomez, Chris Antley, Gary Stevens.
He's East Coast and West Coast, very professional. He keeps a good eye on his riders and a really keen judge of talent.
Yeah, and he also represents Corey Nakatani, who is one of the finest jockeys over the last couple of decades. Getting to the end, maybe, of his riding career. He did retire last year. He came back out of retirement with some success. And
he's legendary on the West Coast. Great rider. Those old knees have got to be giving him a little pain here. He's no spring chicken, but a very competitive guy and a great finishing rider. Always has been.
Always has been. And we're also going to be joined by Dennis Lynch, the VP of Inspections and Client Relations at Fasig Tipton. I'm going to talk about their horses and training sale coming up tomorrow. And the yearling sale, July Select yearling sale, which comes up on Tuesday. They've got about 300 horses catalogued for the July Select yearlings.
Yes, kind of the first crack for buyers to get a look at yearlings here in July before the big September onslaught at Keeneland. A lot of nice horses have come out of the Select sale, which is kind of a little bit in its infancy. Hadn't been around for too long, but horses like Connect, Grade 1 winner, and Klimt came out of that sale. And you know, there's a lot of value to be had out there. I was glancing through the catalog before we started, and there's some nice sires represented, and some nice dams.
But before we get to all of that, we have the beautiful Milena Balbo here with the news of the week.
Thank you, Frank. Actually, we have some very good news this week. It was an especially good week for jockey Tyler Gaffalione, who rode 7 winners on the July 4th program at Gulfstream Park, equaling the record held at the Hallandale Beach, Florida racetrack by Hall of Famer Jerry Beatty. The 22-year-old native of Davie, Florida, is the son of former rider Steve Gaffalione, who rode over 800 winners in a career that spanned between 1978 and 1998. The younger Gaffalione won the Eclipse Award for Outstanding Apprentice Jockey in 2015. The crack Grade 1 winning sprinter Bonaparte was humanely euthanized on July 7th at Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm in Georgetown, Kentucky, due to complications caused by equine protozoal myeloencephalitis, otherwise known as EPM. He was 21 years old. A son of Sabona and the Nijinsky mare Paul Lova, Bonapar won the 2002 Grade 1 Vosburgh Stakes at Belmont Park for owners Dennis and James Richard and trainer Norman Miller. 27-year-old Tinner's Way, a multiple Grade 1 winning son of Secretariat for Judmont Farm and trainer Bobby Frankel, was humanely euthanized on July 5th at Old Friends. The cause of death was attributed to an acute onset of severe neurologic disease. He was the winner of the $1 million Pacific Classic in both 1994 and 1995 and retired with career earnings of over $1.8 million.
Down to a two-horse race. Chris McGarren and Best Pal on the outside. Tinner's Way and Eddie Dollar, who say they come through the lane together. Best Pal sticks his neck out and goes for the wire, but Tinner's Way is all hot at the rail. Tinner's Way is just a matter of strength in the last 50 yards, and the strength belongs to Tinner's Way, and Tinner's Way has won the Pacific Classic from Best Pal.
Respected horseman Marvin Little Jr. passed away this July 4th, after a lengthy battle with cancer. He was 79. Widely known as Junior in the thoroughbred industry, Little was born in Paintsville, Kentucky on July 13, 1937, and was a self-made man who started his equine career at Clovelly Farm near Lexington, Kentucky. He eventually worked his way up and to become farm manager at Newstead Farm. He was the manager of the Upperville, Virginia nursery in 1985, when the farm dispersed its thoroughbred holdings, which included the multiple Grade 1 winner, Miss Oceana, who was a homebred that raced for Newstead. She was sold in full to Northern Dancer and brought a then-world record price of $7 million. Thereafter, Little also personally bred Hansel, champion three-year-old colt, in 1991, and winner of that year's Preakness and Belmont Stakes, as well as Kinsale King, winner of the 2010 Group 1 Dubai Golden Shaheen, among others. He is survived by his three children, five grandchildren, and two great-grandchildren. And born on this day, July 9th, in 1942, was Hall of Fame trainer Robert Julian Frankel. Known as Bobby, Frankel was a five-time winner of the Eclipse Award for Outstanding Trainer and set a single-season world record in 2003 for the most grade or group one wins with 25. He won a total of 3,654 races before his passing at age 68 on November 16, 2009. Some of the more notable horses conditioned by Frankel include Exborn, Bertrando, Empire Maker, Medaglia d'Oro, Ghost Sapper, Sightseek, Le Roi des Animaux, You, Flute, and Tinner's Way. And born on this day in 1965, his trainer, Robert Hess Jr. A native of Chula Vista, California, Hess became assistant to his father, Robert Hess Sr., in 1983 and began training on his own in 1987. He conditioned Grade 1 winners River Special and De Wildcat, in addition to graded stakes winners No Heights, Guide, Slurp, and Wakiva Springs. Happy birthday to Robert Hess. And that's what we have this week, gentlemen.
Well, happy birthday to Bob Hess, and happy birthday, I guess, to Bobby Frankel. Bobby is, I still miss him to this day. I will miss him always. He was a great friend of mine and probably the best trainer that ever lived. Taught me more about horses and horse racing than anyone ever has.
Great trainer, and before he cut his teeth on the West Coast with all those great Judmont horses, he was a pretty salty claiming trainer in New York, and I think came up under Buddy Jacobson, who equally was a pretty sharp guy in New York. Very good trainer, very good handicapper, spotted his horses well, had great stock, and knew how to develop them.
Well, you know how Bobby ended up on the racetrack? He was a gambler when he was a kid, and he was at a party one night. And his friend at the party said to him, it was like midnight, he said, I got to go. And Bobby said, well, where are you going? He said, I got a job at the racetrack. I'm grooming for this trainer. So Bobby said to him, he said, well, can I go with you? And he said, yeah, okay, come on. You take your chance and maybe they'll give you a job. So he went into the barn. I'm not sure whose barn it was, but the guy gave him a job as a hot walker. And 2 years later, Bobby was leading trainer in New York.
It doesn't surprise me. He's a very sharp guy, was a very sharp guy. And, you know, he's had so many great horses that it's hard to accumulate them all in my mind. He's such a great trainer. We were talking before the show about Toussaint, kind of a tricky mare to train. Yeah. And, you know, Empire Maker and Flute, who won the Kentucky Oaks, and there's so many.
Yeah, yeah. Empire Maker, of course, who was out as our great Mayor Toussaint. So speaking about handicapping, we're going to preview the Victory Ride from Belmont Park this afternoon, and also the feature race at Ellis Park. I don't know about if it is the feature race, but it's in the feature race slot. It's the eighth race of Maiden Special Weight on the grass. Full field there at Ellis Park. I think they got a field of 10 going in that race. But we got to go to break. After the break, we will have our first guest, Dennis Lynch from Fasig Tipton, the Vice President of Client Relations and Selections. So we'll be right back here on 1300 AM WLXG Lexington Radio ESPN. Welcome back. You're listening to ESPN Radio, 1300 AM WLXG. Alongside the stage door, Johnny Gaver. I'm Frank Lyons, and we're very pleased to be welcoming in our guest, Dennis Lynch from Fasig Tipton. How are you, Dennis?
Oh, Frank, we're doing great here, and it's always a pleasure to hear from you.
Yeah, okay. So what about the horses and training sale coming up on Monday? And the
We're kicking our sales week off on Sunday night,
yep,
5 p.m., and that will be the horse of racing age. We've got a real exciting bunch here that, you know, there's a lot of different ways for people to get in the horse business. You can buy a yearling, you can buy a two-year-old, or you can buy these things that we got here are ready-made, ready just coming out of the winner's circle, a lot of them. We got some outstanding consigners that have supported this sale with Judmont, Windstar, Calumet Farm, Elite Sales, Stone Street, Matthias Stables, Zayat, John Oxley. So we got some really current stakes winners that people can go right on with, and that will lead us off Sunday night at 5 p.m.
That's great.
Dennis, thanks a lot for your time today. This is John Gaver. We really appreciate you the time to join us. I bought a nice horse out of that sale a few years ago, very reasonably priced, ended up winning a few races with him. Like you say, the Horses of Racing Age sale is a great opportunity for people to get in the game at fair value, I think. I noticed that Windstar has a 7-horse consignment out there for the first time ever, and I was kind of glancing at some of the PPs. Looks like there's some promising stock in that consignment.
Oh, God, they got some fantastic ones. They got Benefactor and Closing Bell. Both those horses are really in good current form. And like your horse, John, that you had some success with, we've had recent success with stakes winners coming out of this sale. Wavell Avenue even came out of this sale a couple of years ago, and she won an Eclipse. But it's like you say, it's a really good you don't have to have as much patience as you might have to have with yearlings. And
right.
Actually, we got 300 yearlings coming up starting Monday, and this has kind of worked very like a ham and egg show. The yearlings get people, certain people here, and the racehorses get a certain people here, the trainers mostly. And basically, when you get them all on the grounds, somebody, some racehorse trainer finds a yearling that he likes and vice versa. So it's worked out very good for us.
Now, let me ask you, Dennis, as far as the horses and training sale, how many lots are we going to sell?
We got 125, and that's what we do. We have a very high-tech way of making this sale work, and that everything is a digital catalog. The only hard copy catalog that we have comes out just today because it's a very fluid. People scratch for various reasons with racehorses, and the one thing we try to do, we got you know, all horses that sold in this racehorse sale have a complete set of X-rays.
Yeah.
So people, these horses are clinically sound. They might have a little something here or there to racing horse, but we don't have any, Frankie. I wanted to let you know. As I remember you training in California, you had a lot of those horses that were very adept at arithmetic, where they would drop two and carry
two
one.
Two carry one.
We're trying to eliminate those, Frankie.
Yeah, I got you. I got you, Denny.
I had to take that shot at you, Frankie.
Me and Denny go back a long way. How long have you been with Fasig, Dennis?
I've been here 21 years.
Wow.
I was in California for about 17 years prior to that, and I've been back here, which I'm from Kentucky, so it's a kind of a homecoming, and been back here 21 years.
I see. You got a little age on you, Dennis.
It's getting a little long in the tooth, Frank. Thanks for reminding me of that.
If you were a building, you'd probably be condemned. So now tell us about the, say, the first season sires of the yearlings and maybe the sires about to hit the ground. Who are we looking out for?
Well, I'll tell you what, the one that comes to mind first, I don't want to leave anybody out, but we've got, you know, this has always been a kind of a new sire showcase, and this Cairo Prince,
yeah.
We haven't seen a bad one yet.
Oh, really?
But we have not seen a bad one yet. I pity the poor guy who sells the first bad-looking Cairo Prince,
yeah.
Because there haven't been any. But yeah. We got 300 yearlings that we're excited about. You know, we went over to 26 states rounding these people up. Our consigners were very gracious to let us come and look at them over the spring. We always want to thank those people.
Sure.
But we've had great success coming out of here the last couple of years with Bijack, Connect, and some other horses like that. But we have a lot of the first crop sires that are coming on this year, so people like to come here and look at a bunch of those. It's the first time they've been exposed to them. And this is the first yearling sale of the year. So the people that let us look at their horses and the ones we try to select have to be kind of precocious because this is the first yearling sale of the year, and we want to have the ones that are mature and ready to go. And so that's what we've kind of come into that type. We maybe sacrifice a little bit on the pedigree for the physical,
sure.
And that's worked out okay for us.
It seems like you've got a good mix of young and proven sires as well. Bernardini, Curlin, Ghost Zapper, Malibu Moon. It's a nice mix of horses, and I was thumbing
happy
through.
Happy about those. And, John, you know, the first with it being the first yearling sale, we kind of got to feed off the vibes that have come out of the two-year-old market in South Florida and Ocala. And a lot of times that's a bellwether for how we're going to do. And the two-year-old market was very vibrant this year all across the board. A lot of the pinhookers were successful. And so I think that bodes well for people coming here and maybe to the pinhook as well as the end users to get this sale off to the first start. And actually, this sale kicks off kind of the mood for, you know, we follow this up with our Saratoga sale. And of course, Keeneland comes in with the big sale in September.
Yeah.
And we just the horse business is you want everybody to do good, because when everybody does good, the sales companies usually do well also.
Absolutely. Now back to the horses in training, Dennis. With the ship and win bonus at Del Mar, I suppose you would be getting plenty of support from the West Coast customers, huh?
We really had a good showing last year with Vladimir Sren and some other people came in and saw the right off the bat the financial windfall that they could have bringing yeah. these horses in. So that is the one of our key elements of looking for targets, and you know, the whole thing that makeup, a lot of times, like these horses that Windstar selling, those are perfectly good horses with big futures in front of them, and they're not being culled or anything. I know that Elliot had just said, you know, some of them, if we look at, and they're not going to become stallion prospects in our barn.
Sure.
They can win stakes and maybe be stallion prospects in other people's barns. So it's a very fair and open appraisal of why they were selling them, and the market will be the judge. But like I say, we're very excited about these racing prospects.
Now, do you have any two-year-olds in the horses and training sale?
There's a couple two-year-olds. We just got one, a late entry the other day of a two-year-old that won down there at
Antonio Sono's horse. Is that right or no?
He's a sharp. He's a sharp guy. Yeah. It's a hip 423, I think. It's a two-year-old colt. It's a two-year-old gelding.
Yeah.
But he ran a big rag number first time out, and they took him out of the winner's circle and brought him right here to that. So I'm sure he'll be very popular also.
I got to commend, speaking of the rags and sheets numbers, your website, your web designer and editor have done a great job with providing sheets numbers to trainers and past performances. There's all the information anybody could ever want in one spot. It's fantastic if you're trying to weed through a catalog. Great supplemental tool.
And
I appreciate that.
Where is that now? That's PhasicTipton.com?
PhasicTipton.com.
Yes. Yep.
Right on our website, you go to the catalogs and press the horse duration age. And like John was saying, you know, we've got past performances, the pedigree, the rag numbers. We can view all videos of their races. And it really really brings the buying of racehorse into the 21st century, where a guy can literally not be anywhere here, get all the information, and maybe have somebody do hands-on at the sale and take a look at him clinically. But that's very astute that John would notice that, because horse people do make avail themselves of that information. It's really, really good. Now, I don't know that there's much more besides just go touching one that you would know besides what you could get off our virtual catalog.
Well, Dennis, it's been great to talk to you, and a preview of the sales coming up, and I hope to see you out there in the next 2 days, and I hope to be busy myself. Thank you, Dennis.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, John.
Thanks a lot, Dennis.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Now we're going to go to break again here on ESPN Radio 1300 WLXG. We'll be back with Tony Matos. Welcome back to ESPN Radio 1300 AM. You're listening to Riders Up. I am Frank Lyons alongside of John Gaver. And we're very pleased right now to be joined by the famous jockey agent, Tony Matos. Tony, how are you?
Good, Frank. How are you? And John, how are you? It's a pleasure for me to talk to you guys. Were you guys at Lexington?
Yeah, we're in Lexington, yes.
I love Lexington. I went to school in Kentucky, and I love Lexington.
Oh, you did go to school in Kentucky. Where did you go to school?
I went to the University of Louisville, but I used to hang around Lexington all the time, and I went to high school there, too, so I'm Puerto Rican bred, but Kentucky raised.
Yeah, that's great. Now, you are representing Santiago Gonzalez along with young Evan Roman.
And, Frank, I got very lucky. Like, I had an opening for a rider, and I called Puerto Rico, and I called my friend Joe Bruno down there, and they had the jockey school, and he gave me a choice of three or four riders, and I picked Evan because of his natural ability. And at that time, Frankie was already committed to go back east.
Huh.
So I talked to his father, and he sent him to me out here to California. So he's I was lucky that he came out here. So he came here in the middle of February. So, I mean, it's hard to believe that coming in that late to wind up leading rider at Santa Anita, which has never been done in, I think, 73 years.
Yeah.
With he seems like a really good kid by all accounts.
He's an amazing kid. You know, he lives with my wife and I, and we take care of him, and he's an agent's dream. He's a great kid.
Has it been tough to kind of, I know he's got a really positive attitude and a good work ethic. Has it been kind of tough to keep him grounded with all the recent success, or has he kind of taken it in stride?
Actually, he's very low key. You wouldn't even know he won a race. He's the same as when he came in as he is right now. He's very humble. And that's, I think, why he's done so well, because a lot of the fellow riders, he's such a nice person. When they first got here, he had to adjust to the racing out here in California. So he's had a lot of help from a lot of riders. He's had a lot of help from Mike Smith. First of all, most of his help he got from my other rider, Santiago Gonzalez, who's a very good rider.
Right.
And then Gary Stevens helped him. Even Corey Nakatani helped him. And Irad Ortiz and him, they went to the same school in Puerto Rico, the Escuela Vocacional. And when he comes out here, he meets with him, and even on the phone, he gives him some pointers.
Huh.
So, you know, like the thing with this, with Evan, but he's willing to take some advice, and he's made the best out of all the advice that the other riders have given him.
So now, you have represented Lafitte Pinkeye, Angel Cordero, Victor Espinosa, Kent DeSormo, Garrett Gomez. How does Evan rack up alongside of all those names?
Well, these are all mostly Hall of Fame riders. You know, it's as good a rider that there is in the world. I mean, each one of them is outstanding, so if I was to compare one of those riders with the other, it wouldn't be fair for me,
sure,
because they are in a class of their own, and they're both excellent riders. I've had some great apprentices, and at this stage of the game, Evan's got the potential to become a great rider. Hopefully that everything goes day by day. You know what? How that goes, Frank.
Yeah.
But everything that I've thrown at him, he's been able to improve, and he's an easy person to work for. He works a lot of horses every morning. He's got a great attitude. All the trainers and all the jockeys, they love him, so I don't have a negative thing to say about him.
And
very light.
Yeah. And when was the first time he was on a horse?
He had never been on the horse till he went to jockey school. I'll tell you how he became a jockey. His father went to the track with him, and he saw the jockeys ride, and he inquired about the jockey school, and he says, I would like to get into that school.
Wow.
So his father, Jorge Roman, enrolled him to the jockey school. He went to the jockey school for 2 years, And over there, they're making clean horses, and it's a very good school. And they got some very good teachers, like a guy called Carmelo Hernandez, teacher there. And after the 2 years that he went to school, he became a writer. And he wrote in January, and after that, I asked him to come over here to California, and he did. He came out to California. As a matter of fact, he went to England and wrote the Apprentice Writers Race.
Oh, he did.
And he won that. And he won that. And then he went to Dubai, and he wrote an Apprentice Writers Race, and he was second.
Huh.
And it just for me to be at the right place at the right time and being able to get him here. And in such a short period of time, I would have never dreamed that an apprentice would be leading writer in Santa Anita. It's unforeseen, you know?
Yeah, I know.
Oh, it's a huge
He was like 16, 17 races behind, and all of a sudden I went up being for leading writer. I was shocked.
But he's so stylish on a horse. I mean, for an apprentice rider, you know, you always see the apprentice riders when they first come to, like, get noticed. They're always, like, on the lead. Basically, they take the weight, they put the horses on the lead, and they just kind of learn as time goes on. But this kid, Evan Roman, he is just sensational. He comes from off the pace. He's good on the grass. He's good on the dirt. He looks great. He puts the stick away. He rides a finish, and he is just a tremendous rider. He
sits on a horse very nicely.
Thank you, Frank. Frank, and the good thing about it is that right now, even though without the bug, I have calls in the Los Alamitos Derby. I've got a call in the Bertrando today. I have a call in the opening day stake at Del Mar. And I've got a call in the Osonita. So actually, he's not so much of an apprentice.
Yeah.
I think he's getting recognized as a top rider, you know.
Well,
as you can see, he's won a couple of states for Jerry Hollendorfer, and he has a lot of confidence
that.
In him.
And I'm
telling you, at this stage of the game, he's improved so much.
Yeah.
So much that, I mean, I'm just...
I feel the excitement in your voice.
I know, me too. I'm excited.
There's not enough words for me to say how grateful I am that I wound up with a rider with this much talent.
Yeah.
Like I say, with a rider like that, an apprentice, and he's going good, you got to play it day by day, but I'm going to do the best I can not to mess it up.
Yeah, and I should say that Tony Matos has booked 6 winning rides in the Kentucky Derby. He's won the Kentucky Derby 6 times as an agent.
I did not know that, but I know that.
Isn't that right, Tony?
He's very fortunate, I'm very fortunate in that race. I've won a couple with Ken DeSormo, with my good friend. I won a couple with Cordero. I won one with Victor. I won one with Lafitte. So.
Yeah. And Angel, Bold Forbes.
Angel, Bold Forbes and Cannonade.
So has Evan contacted his former Puerto Rican superstar, Angel Cordero, at all?
Oh, my God. As a matter of fact, we talked to him last night for an hour. Angel was telling him how much older I was than he was. He was telling, you got an old agent. He's much older than me. So I tell Angel,
that's not right.
Because we were born the same day, November 8th. But he forgot his mathematics. He's 2 or 3 years older than me to put the facts on the line. He always tells me that.
We're all getting old, Tony. You know, I often...
I know I'm getting a little old, Angel always wants to take his day job.
Yeah. I don't know how I got to get over the hill without getting to the top of it.
let me tell you one thing. Angel is not only my jockey that I work for. Angel like my brother. I love Angel.
Oh, I love Angel, too.
We talk at least 3 times a week. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's a great person, a great writer, and a great human being. And as a matter of fact, when we were kids together, his father used to train for my father. They used to race us at the track.
Huh.
We were 8, 9, 10 years old. We're about the same age.
Really?
We're close to each other. Yeah.
That's really cool.
That's how far back we go.
Yeah, wow.
That's awesome. You know, I think it says a lot. You were talking a little bit earlier about there's such a strong riding colony out in California and has been for a long time. But I think it says something to Evan's character that sometimes, I guess, when you get kind of a hot bug boy, maybe the other the journeyman riders maybe would shy away maybe from a guy with that much talent. But, he seems like willing to learn and accept advice from other people. That's going to carry him a long way.
John, I cannot stress enough the point. If you ask me one point that made Evan a good writer, I would have to say that the help he's got from fellow writers. So I'm really thankful to all the writers like Mike Smith, Gary Stevens, Santiago Gonzalez, Corey Nakatani, Maldonado, and there's not one writer that didn't pitch in, because when he first got here, he was a little confused. I put him on a race down the hill,
which
he didn't know how to ride it well, a couple of things. But, he got set down 3 times by the stewards, and he had it coming.
Yeah.
But when he got set down and he had those 3 weeks off, he studied films, he went to the gym, he talked to other riders, he got on the little horse, and the other rider showed him a few things. And it's amazing how quick he turned everything around and became the kind of rider that he is.
Yeah. What's his favorite sport besides racing?
His father was used to be a runner.
Oh, yeah?
Jorge Roman was a champion runner in Puerto Rico.
Wow. Huh.
I think track and field probably his favorite sport.
Wow. Huh.
His father was a runner before. He's a young man. Kevin just turned 19, so his father, I think, is only like 35, 36 years old. He's a very, very young man. He came out and visited him. And Kevin's girlfriend, he's going to the jockey school in Puerto Rico.
Oh, really? Huh.
So she's going to be a jockey.
So let me ask you the difficult question, Tony, is that if Evan is wanting to travel a little bit, go east, are you going to come with him?
I'll go anywhere he wants. I've always gone everywhere. Like I went with Garrett Gorman, may he rest in peace, over to Keeneland.
Yeah.
And we had a good meet. I've been everywhere in the world. I just have to have my wife go with me wherever I go. But I think we're going to stay out for California. I think racing here is going to get good. And we've got a lot of good people that we ride for. And we got to remember those are the people that got us there. So I'm going to kind of try to stay. I'm very grateful to Jerry Hollandorfer. He put him on his first winner.
Yeah.
And he also put him on his first stake winner.
I know.
I think Peter Miller helped me a lot to get the title because he put me on a lot of live horses. A trainer called Van Belver, I won about 7 or 8 races for him. So, I mean, even Bob Barford put me on a nice colt. So, I mean, there hasn't been one person that hasn't tried to get Evan on some horses.
I think. And Bob Barford doesn't really go with apprentice riders, does he?
He did. He put me on a nice horse. Running tomorrow, yes.
Oh.
Everything been like a dream come true.
Yeah. Well, Tony, we wish you the best of luck. Now, any plans of travel do you have?
Right now, we might go to ride a horse today. There's a chance he might go to Seattle for a big race, see how he runs today. And I've got a couple of other things in mind. I'm always willing to travel anywhere you go. Anybody that's got a good horse and they want Evan Roman's service or Santiago Gonzalez, or they have to pick up the phone and call.
Have Jockey Will travel, huh?
Absolutely. And Frank, it's always been a pleasure talking to you. And
yes.
John, I'm telling you, I'm so happy to talk to you. Your dad, may he rest in peace, was one of my best friends. We had a lot of fun together. He was a great human being and a beautiful person.
Well, Tony, that's very kind of you to say, and we really appreciate your time, and I wish you all the best. You got to be looking forward to the big Del Mar meet coming up, and I wish you the best. You're a good man with a good heart, and you got a very talented young rider. I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you, John. Thank you, and you all have a good day today.
Okay, so Tony, thank you very much. Tony Matos, ladies and gentlemen, nice to talk to you, Tony.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So now we have to go to break. That was great insight there with Tony Matos. We're on ESPN Radio 1300 WLXG, Frank Lyons and John Gaver on Riders Up. Welcome back to ESPN Radio 1300 AM WLXG. Here alongside Johnny Gaver, I'm Frank Lyons, and we're treated to some nice insight today from Tony Matos and Dennis Lynch.
Both great guests. The Fasic Tipton sale is going to be pretty exciting. There's some nice stock in there, and Tony Matos has got a really talented young rider on his hands. Being in Kentucky, I don't watch a lot of California racing, but was watching some videos of him before the show, and he really sits on a horse nicely.
Kind of reminds me a little of Stevie Cawthon.
That's a great comparison. One of my favorite riders as a kid, for certain. Yeah. Idolized him.
So we'll get on to a little handicapping now. We're going to handicap the victory ride, a grade 3 at Belmont this afternoon. 5-horse field, 6.5 furlongs. And we got the Southern California Shipper in American Gal for Kalim Shah. It's kind of interesting that this horse ran second to Abel Talisman last time out in the Starlet. And Abel Talisman was trained by Simon Callahan, went to Bob Baffert, and this filly was trained by Bob Baffert and went to Simon Callahan, so they kind of did a swaparoo.
The musical chairs of training happens all the time. It seems like this is certainly a nice filly, very talented, broker maiden, first time out of the box, then won a stake in her first start against winners, usually the sign of a pretty nice horse.
And you know
pull that off.
What's the sign of a pretty nice horse also? is when you go off favorite in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies.
Good point. Yeah. And her both of her losses have come at the hands, as you mentioned, of Abel Tasman, the Kentucky Oaks winner, and Champagne Room, who is a Grade 1 winner in her own right, who took down the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies last
year. And both of those races were at a mile and a 16th, and today she comes back in distance to 6.5 furlongs, which I think will suit. She's by Concord Point out of a Ghost Zapper mare homebred, bred by Kaleem Shah. And she is actually second favorite in the morning line behind Vertical Oak, the 5 filly who gets Jose Ortiz aboard. She hit the gate, was a non-starter last time out. And I don't know, like, one thing that I do notice is that she carries 121 pounds, John, and American Gal carries 113. Now, that's quite a, even if you're not a believer in weights, you know.
It's an 8-pound shift.
That's an 8-pound shift.
Any way you cut it. Vertical Oak is a nice filly. She likes to win. She has annexed 4 of 9 lifetime starts. Obviously, you throw out the race in the Jersey Girl, the $150,000 stake at Belmont back on June 11th, where she hit the gate.
You know, the great Bobby Frankel, whose birthday is today, he used to say to me that weight, it matters, especially at the gate, when they break out of the gate. When the gate's open and they break from the gate, if you're carrying 113 pounds, you get out of there a lot quicker than if you're carrying 121.
Very astute point, and that makes a world of a difference going a 6.5 furlong trip. You know, this isn't a mile and a quarter route race where maybe if you kind of break a little bad or flat-footed, you got a chance to kind of regroup and get your horse settled, save some ground, and make up one run. But in a sprint, you kind of want to get out of there quick, obviously.
Now, the filly that it's a 3-year-old filly race, and the filly that's in here that didn't cost a lot. She's by Too Much Bling, as the Wesley Ward trained Too Much Tip. She gets Johnny Velasquez aboard, and she also stumbled at the start and lost a jockey 3 starts back. And she finished 4th, beating 4.5 lengths in her first start here in the U.S. She was formerly in Puerto Rico, and where she was undefeated, except for that mishap at the start where she lost a jockey. I could see her improve.
She's out of a mare that I really liked as a racehorse, Quick Tip. Neil Howard trained her, multiple graded stakes winner at a route of ground.
That's right.
But Too Much Bling by Rubiano, probably get some speed on the top side of the pedigree. And Wesley Ward in sprint races, very
pretty dangerous.
Pretty dangerous. What about old Noble Freud, old Chad Brown? It's hard to throw him out of anything in New York.
Yeah, well, this is a New York bred. She's by Freud, cost $30,000 at the Fasig Tipton October sale. She won her maiden by 6 lengths when trained by Jinx Fires at Oaklawn Park, and the head of Plains Partners stepped in and bought her privately, and she's raced twice second since in New York bred stakes company in the New York Stallion and the Bury. She was $125,000 race at Belmont Park, going 7 furlongs in the slop. She was second, beating a length and a half at 4-1. She also gets in with 113 pounds, one of the low weights, and one of the top weights, or the top weight in the whole field, is the other Steve Asmussen trained Golden Mischief, who's 6-1 in the morning line, gets Javier Castellano. And when you look at Vertical Oak, she's been handled 3 times by Golden Mischief. One, of course, she did hit the gate and was a non-starter. But, you know, Golden Mischief has beat her 3 times, and she's longest shot in the field.
She's we're familiar with her in Kentucky a little bit. She broke her maiden at Ellis Park last summer by 8 lengths, and then came back and won a race at Churchill Downs. So she's been around Kentucky a little bit. Very nice filly who's been first or second in 8 of 12 starts lifetime. Into Mischief seems to get great fillies. And good sire, but I kind of like his fillies a little more than his colts.
Really? Well, the Spencer Farm would have a little argument with you about that.
I'm sure they would. I'm sure they would.
There's plenty of those in that Fasig Tipton yearling sale. I see there's about 6 Into Mischiefs. He's a great sire.
He's a good sire. They run on anything. They can handle the turf. They can go short. They can go long. Very versatile. So at Spendthrift, I apologize for sliding your colts, but that's the personal opinion.
So now tell me who you're going to go with.
you know, I'm going to go with Vertical Oak, and I don't think the horse is going to go off at 8-5 in here. I think American Gal dropping out of the Grade 1 company is going to be the favorite, and I actually like the move by Simon Callahan. I just looking at it, I would be like, I don't know if he's going to move one up on Bob Baffert, but sure. I like the return to Grade 3 company, maybe get out of California and try some new shooters.
Well, the California shippers, as you've seen on Belmont Day, have been pretty tough here, even though racing is kind of a little bit under the...
Good point.
You know, in question. Out in California, the talent is still there, and I doubt if Simon Callahan would put this filly on a plane if he had any doubts. So I'm going to go with the 3 American Gal to win the race for trainer Simon Callahan and owner Kalim Shah. Flavian Pratt ships in to ride her. That's going to be exciting to see.
Absolutely. Great rider. It basically tied but was second to Evan Roman in the Santa Anita recently concluded meet riding title.
That's right.
And he's a great rider as well, very patient. So, dirt, good rider.
So an interesting race at Ellis Park, too. The maiden special weight 5.5 furlongs on the turf, the 8th race today. What do you see in there, John?
This is a completely wide open race. A lot of first time starters going 5.5 panels on the lawn. I'm kind of interested in the 4 horse in here a little bit. Emerald Candy, who is a half sister to Sarah Siss, who was a crack sprinter who won over 900 grand. Multiple stakes winner, who was also trained by Ingrid Mason. This filly's seems to be well bent here. Pretty extensive public work tab and is certainly bred to sprint.
Well, that Ingrid Mason wins at 29% with her first-time starters. That didn't stand out to you at all, did it, John?
No, not at all. That kind of glazed over that point there. But no, she's a very capable trainer, Chicago-based, very good with sprinters and route horses, but I think sprinters are her forte. Jack Gilligan, very good at getting one out of the gate, and it's probably on at its best on the front end.
Well, I like the way where she's drawn in the 4 holes. She's by Sydney's Candy and out of a mare by Gilded Time. And that
should be able to handle the grass, okay?
Well, Sydney's Candy was a freak on the grass. First time he raced on the grass, I believe, was the Oceanside or the La Jolla at Del Mar, and he ran off the TV screen. A $40,000 Keeneland November purchase as a foal. This one looks well meant today. It's also the horse that I chose in the race, 4-horse Emerald Candy. But
should be a pretty decent price. I mean, first time out of the box. I know it's 7-2 on the morning line, but if you get 3-1 or so, 4-1 on that horse, that's worth a play, I would say.
And I think the long shot that I would go for in that race is Holy Akati, the first time starter by Tale of Akati out of a Holy Bull mare, trained by John Hancock, who's having a very good year. He's kind of a new trainer that's come on the scene.
He's been around, I think, for a little while, but he points for Ellis Park, and he really does a good job with kind of moderately bred juveniles. He had a great Keeneland meet with 2-year-olds, and I believe he was second in with a horse in at the recently concluded Churchill meet in either the Bashford Banner or the Debutante. I can't remember which, but he does a really good job with juveniles, and you know, other than the inside post draw for the first-time starter, I like that horse a little bit as well.
Now, what about we talk about the draw? Inside on the grass, I don't think is as hurtful. I can't stand the one hole. If ever I got the one hole on a horse, I nearly always scratched him or, you know, convinced myself that it was okay, but it turned out that it wasn't okay.
I did a lot of that as well, just trying to convince myself things that didn't or wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. That's actually a very good point. On the grass, I think you've got a better shot of coming out of that one hole than on the dirt, just because I think they can kind of get a hold of it a little better and push off and get on out of there.
Especially if they have a bit of speed, you know, to get to that turn and they're on the inside and they can get clear. But the one hole is a death sentence as far as on the dirt, if you're going even 3/4, but they're going 5.5 on the grass today. So I will say that that's not a death hole. Now, the one horse Holy Akati gets Lasix in the debut. The 4 horse gets Lasix in the debut. The 5 horse going only goes 9-2 on the morning lines by Get Stormy out of a Perfect Soul mare. That's perfectly bred for the grass.
And yeah, absolutely, good point. And to, you know, probably like the extra furlong in distance today, kind of a get stormy, wanted to go long on the grass. I believe she's an improving filly that's, you know, kind of ran okay on debut at Churchill, then moved forward and has a, certainly a license in her third career start to produce some further improvement as well.
Well, you see that in both starts, she got in trouble. She got in tight, steadied last time out, and then lunged at the start and was steadied in her first start, which would be a gimme race at Churchill Downs, trained by Michael Sullivan, who's won for 16 this year, and this is a real bargain. If he could get the job done today, she'd cost just $1,000 as a foal at the Keeneland November sale.
That's a good point as well. You know, she's already run off these works, but this filly has put up some blazing fast works at the Thoroughbred Center, a surface that is typically pretty slow and tiring. So, I don't know. Got a good chance.
Yeah, another trainer, Jimmy Corrigan, who is a great friend of mine, who's
good man.
Awesome trainer, has been around for many years and also was a champion apprentice rider.
Really?
Yeah.
And I believe he also worked for the Bald Eagle, Charlie Whittingham. I think for
is
a little
right?
bit. I think
I
so.
Did not know
I might
that about
be wrong,
Jimmy.
But I think that's correct.
Well, that's the 5.5 furlong turf maiden special weight at Ellis Park. I guess that is their feature. And John, that's the sixth one in the books.
The sixth one in the books, that's for certain. And I should mention that I've been producing a tip sheet here for the Kentucky circuit called the Green Sheet. You can find it on my website, www.johngaver.com, G-A-V-E-R, V as in Victor. And I've been doing, you know, the Kentucky circuit started last fall with Keeneland, and we kind of rolled through Churchill and Keeneland Spring, doing Ellis right now.
It's a very impressive blog, I'll tell you.
Thank you very much. Yeah. I appreciate it. Put a lot of time in it, and probably a little more than I should, but we've had some pretty good results at Keeneland last fall and at Churchill and Keeneland this spring. Off to a kind of a slow start at Ellis, but that'll kind of come around. Still in kind of the infancy of the meet.
So,
and I'm happy to say that when Saratoga rolls around here, Frank is going to jump in and do that whole meet for us. He's a great handicapper, going to provide some great insight. So we'll have Kentucky and New York covered. So right now, all for free. You can just go to the website, check it out, and hopefully we'll give you some.
And what is that website again, John?
www.johngaver.com.
Thank you so much, everybody, and enjoy your Sunday morning, okay? We'll see you next week.
See you next week.